Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
That the NFL Combine is going on, and I'm sure everyone is waiting with bated breath or pulling over in your cars right now on the side of the road to hear me talk about the NFL Combine. I have some terrible breaking news for you. I'm not really going to be going into a lot of in-depth about that. Personally, I don't really care that much about the Combine. The Combine, for me, is something that the people that run the teams, the general managers, the scouts, they're just basically getting their data together so that they can plug it into their little algorithms and hopefully pump out some information that's going to help them make some decisions on some razor-thin margins about player A and player B. A lot of this stuff you can just check out on the film and figure out whether the guy has got the stuff or not. Now, when it comes to the NFL Combine, a lot of people are going to freak out about 40 times, about how strong a guy is. If you're a quarterback or looking for a quarterback, can he complete this pass, complete that pass? I don't really care about any of that stuff. There's only a few things that I really care about that, honestly, if you are a casual fan or even if you are a diehard Chicago Bears fan, there are a couple things that you should actually really pay attention to that actually matter that could swing a draft for a player one way or the other. And these are the following. The first one and the most important one is the medicals. Now, for a lot of these guys, they're either coming into the draft like an Abdul Carter, who's hopefully going to be a top five pick, or if you're a Chicago Bears fan, hopefully going to slide to 10. He's dealing with a shoulder injury right now. He's not going to be performing at the Combine. Now, someone that's just coming off of an injury, you know, you obviously every single doctor gets their own evaluation, and you just look for certain things about will he be ready for training camp? Is this a lingering issue? What kind of injury it is? So on and so forth. A lot of these other medicals, too, as well, can reveal bigger long-term problems with the player that you definitely have to take into consideration. Most notably, early onsets of arthritis, issues with the player's feet, especially a heavier player like an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. It could be a shoulder. It could be a knee. I always remember and go back to Todd Gurley, the running back for the Los Angeles Rams, eventually finished his career, I believe, with the Atlanta Falcons. When he came into the draft, everyone knew that he was going to be the best running back in the draft, but also a lot of people felt like he was going to be perhaps the best player coming out of the draft. But he slid in the NFL draft. Why? Because a lot of the medicals from some of these team doctors said that that knee wasn't going to hold up long term in an NFL environment. He had onset arthritic knee. He had an onset case of arthritis coming in his knee that wasn't there today. One of the best players in the draft that day, but they knew down the road it was going to be an issue. And what did the Los Angeles Rams did? They took him anyways. He was one of the best players in the NFL for probably about 3 years. And then lo and behold, those medicals caught up to him a little bit, and he wasn't able to have the long career, the Hall of Fame type of career that many people hoped that he would have. So there's a trade-off there. I mean, do you take the returns of today for perhaps maybe not the long-term future that you want with every single draft pick? Or do you stay away with it and try and find a little bit more of a sure thing? So the medicals are important. The other one that's really important that I've learned over the years, and I didn't always feel this way, but the more that I try and educate myself and watch more film and get better at looking at and talking about and understanding football, always a growth process, is that when you go to the combine for a defensive lineman and most especially an offensive lineman, the length of his arms is a huge factor. It's very similar to the size of a quarterback's hands. Now, the length of the arms of the offensive lineman is a really important thing because this is just basic physics. If your length is shorter than the guy that you're going up against and he can get his hands on you first and you try and reach out to grab him, but your arms are too short to get your hands on him, guess what? You're not going to survive in the NFL. It's pretty simple. So a lot of these guys, most specifically a guy like Will Campbell, a guy who's played tackle at LSU, who's a highly rated prospect, a guy that the Chicago Bears will be looking at in the draft, the length of his arms will actually matter. Because if they're too short on the outside, he may have to kick in as a guard. And does that change a little bit of his ceiling? And would the Bears then be interested in taking him at 10? So as I've learned as things go along, that really does matter. The 40 time, people make a lot of noise about the 40 time. To be honest with you, I don't really care about a lot about the 40 time. The 40 time is a straight line vertical route. You don't see too many of those in the NFL anymore. Now, great, is it awesome if you can just establish the high-end top speed of a guy? Yes, absolutely. But this is the part where I get a little bit confused. And this is going to be the conversations we're going to be having about the draft over the next couple months, where I think a lot of Chicago Bears fans, if the Chicago Bears were to draft a running back, a lot of them like, oh, Iowa's running back Caleb Johnson. And they wouldn't be wrong. Highly productive player. Incredibly consistent. If you look up his numbers, he took the rock a lot last year and delivered on a week-to-week basis on an Iowa offense that was Caleb Johnson or bust. They had no other weapons on that team. Or the difference between a guy that I like a whole lot, like a guy like a Trevion Henderson, a guy who is just electric with the ball in his hands. And the difference will be Caleb Johnson's going to run his 40, and we'll see what time he comes out at. There are many reports that he ran one of the fastest open field runs of the season last year at 21 miles an hour, which is great once you break through the pile. The 40 time doesn't mean that much to me because I want to know what your burst is once the ball is in your hands behind the line of scrimmage. How fast and how powerful are you hitting the hole when it matters the most to even give yourself the opportunity to get into the open field? Once you're in the open field and then you clock 21, it doesn't really matter that much to me. So if you want to get really into the weeds on this and have some nuance, there's that thing with like the cone drill and those short burst drills, I'm probably a little bit more interested in that when it comes to Caleb Johnson or Trevion Henderson. I mean, it's great that Caleb Johnson can get up to his top speed once he's 30 yards down the field. But I kind of need that speed within the first 5 to 8 yards because that's the part that really matters the most in the NFL. And you don't really see a lot of running backs really break open a run and take it downfield anymore. So when it comes to the combine, man, you're going to hear a lot of chatter about a lot of different stuff. Strength, speed, vertical. A lot of it, I promise you, doesn't matter. It matters some to some of these NFL teams that are trying to make some decisions on some guys that are razor thin close. But again, length of arms, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, that means something. The medicals, that is going to really mean something. Even if it doesn't mean something to you, that might mean the Chicago Bears might not take the player that you want if the medicals are bad. And then I am curious, I'm going to kind of look into those short distance drills a little bit, more than I am so the 40, to try and make some decisions on the running back position, a position that I think the Chicago Bears need to supplement and get better at, if not this offseason, but in the next 1 or 2 years.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
The NFLPA, the NFL Players Association, released their survey. Now, obviously, these are anonymous grades, but we all know the players that are on the team. The Players Association sends out a survey to talk about an ownership's grades for many different functions and many different facets of an organization. They do everything from how is the diet and nutrition, how is the food in the cafeteria, how is the weight room, how does an ownership treat families, how does an ownership group treat travel, and then they ask a little bit about the coaches. So in general, before we get to the part that I really want to get to, is in general, I believe the Chicago Bears were 14th out of 32 in the NFL overall, which, look, is right there in the middle, right at mediocre. Are you comfortable yet? The water's warm, Bears fans. Hop in. We're right there in the middle as mediocre. A couple of little surprises, right? I mean, ownership in general, and I think that's more has to do with how ownership treats its players, were very high grades. For the most part, dealing with family got pretty good grades. Post-game family activities and taking care of families got a little bit of a lower grade, but daycare for the Chicago Bears did really well. The food actually was actually kind of more in the middle, something that they may look to improve upon. And when you have a new head coach like Ben Johnson, that is something that they can put their fingerprints on and improve upon. And then, of course, the training room, the weight room, the locker room, all things that were renovated over the last couple of years, so they're brand spanking new, got A's, A minuses across the board for the Chicago Bears. You want to know what the lowest grade was? Head coach. I got to tell you, this is probably one of the more, and I hate to victory lap on this, and I hate to laugh with glee, but let's be honest, the dude is getting paid by the Chicago Bears this year, I believe, $5 or $6 million to do nothing, while also go off and coach in Dallas as a defensive coordinator. So the dude is doing fine and employed. But it is a bit of a victory lap for me personally, that I didn't like Matt Eberflus from the jump, and yet somehow the ghost of Matt Eberflus continues to somehow matriculate and haunt the Chicago Bears during this offseason. The NFLPA, the Chicago Bears, the grade that they gave Matt Eberflus, I believe ranked 31 out of 32 in the NFL at the dead bottom. And the quote from the NFLPA's report read, quote, "The player's most frequent complaint was with their former head coach, Matt Eberflus. Quote, the players felt like he lacked a willingness to listen to the players and the players' leadership council, and he mismanaged the weekly team schedule." So this is funny. This is a funny synergy and a funny alignment where Chicago Bears fans and Chicago Bears players are in resounding 100% agreement. We don't get this very often, so we have to appreciate it. So maybe Matt Eberflus deserves a thank you. But it is very interesting to see how poorly mismanaged that hire was and how poorly mismanaged his tenure was as a Chicago Bears head coach. And it wasn't just some bad luck here and there. I mean, the dude blew leads on the regular, didn't know how to handle his timeouts, was very poor in press conferences and post-game press conferences about delivering at least a direct, clear message about what happened in the game prior, other than some particular buzzwords like execution. He used that word all the time. And clearly his message fell on deaf ears with the Chicago Bears. And let's be honest, this all could not have just happened within the last year. It wasn't that all of a sudden he was no longer willing to listen to the players and he mismanaged the weekly team schedule. This seems like this had been brewing for quite some time. And Matt Eberflus is long gone. So all we can do now is that I think some of this light has to also shine on Ryan Poles. Sure, it's one thing to hire the wrong person or draft the wrong guy, sign the wrong free agent. Those things will happen. And trust me, Ryan Poles has done all of those and has done a healthy amount of them. I think one of the more glaring things that that makes me a little bit scared about Ryan Poles, even with Ben Johnson in tow, and look, we got our crowns on. We're the offseason kings right now. We're absolutely crushing this offseason. Ben Johnson is absolutely electric at the podium talking, and I am an iceberg of criticism and skepticism for Ben Johnson. I'm slowly getting thawed on him a little bit. But again, there still is Ryan Poles in the room making these decisions. This is the same Ryan Poles who not only hired Matt Eberflus, that's one thing, but didn't fire him last year when I think everybody knew that he wasn't the right guy, and then brought him back for Caleb Williams' rookie season. Now, whether you're in on him or not in on him is irrelevant. What is factual and truthful is that he was the number one pick in the draft, so you felt good enough that this guy was going to be the next franchise guy, and then you subjected him to Matt Eberflus for a full year. And then you let Matt Eberflus, or maybe you did it yourself, hire a guy like Shane Waldron. And there's a judgment of character, there's a judgment of skill and talent in those particular areas that, again, when you see this NFLPA report come out, and Matt Eberflus ranks almost dead last in the NFL, and the players themselves rip apart their former head coach like this, how does the general manager not know? And if he does know, how does the general manager not do anything about it? So I get it. There's still a bit of an exhuming of this corpse that is the Chicago Bears season of last year, a season where they lost 10 in a row. And now heading into an offseason where they do have a new head coach, they raised their ticket prices by 10%. Good call on that one. Sarcasm. And then this report comes out kind of confirming everything that we knew and everything that a lot of Bears fans, including myself, have been saying for a long time, that Matt Eberflus not only isn't the guy, but could be doing irreparable damage to certain areas of the football team that you can't come back from. Now, that was my fear. I can't confirm that that's what's going to happen. But we all know now that it's the same story that we've had in Chicago for many years. And eventually, it's a topic that's going to come up, so I'm throwing it at you now so that when you hear it from somebody else or some other media talking head, you'll at least remember and hopefully go, Joey Christopoulos in Sports Talk Chicago and WLS AM 890 said it first, is we're going to have to start making excuses for Caleb Williams' rookie season and almost turn it into a wash year. And you will hear at some point someone say something along the lines of, well, this is basically now Caleb Williams' rookie year with Ben Johnson. And that is no one's fault but Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears. Because, again, these seasons are sacred, and they literally just burned through 1 year of a rookie contract for Caleb Williams. If you think Caleb Williams is going to be a Pro Bowl player and your franchise quarterback for the next handful of years, you have to try and maximize that rookie contract before you start paying the dude $50 million plus a year. Chicago Bears took one of those years, lit it on fire, threw it out the window, and watched it burn behind them in the rearview mirror. And now, or at least, they're going to start giving these excuses of, well, I mean, this happened last year. He was subjected to Shane Waldron, all the bumps in the road and the roller coaster. But it really is something watching this NFLPA report card come out for Matt Eberflus and confirms everything that Chicago Bears fans suspected and were dreading about the situation that they had with their football team last year. He's not there anymore. But again, it speaks a little bit to a guy who still is their general manager, Ryan Poles.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold. 312-883-9500 MVP. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.